Hello, Dove, and everyone. Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here. And today is Holy Spirit Guides, which means that we are reviewing all of the information at reginadawnacres.com in chronological order from the beginning. So let me give you that link. So there's the link to reginadawnacres.com, and we are in February of 2005. So what you'll want to do when you get to reginadawnacres.com is you'll see the archives listed on the right side of the screen. You'll want to find February 2005, and make sure you get 2005 because there's also a 2006 and a 2007. So you'll want to find February 2005, click on that. And last week, the last thing we talked about was the ego is not the devil. So this week, we're going to begin with the message at February 16th. So when you get to the February archives, you'll want to scroll down to Wednesday, February 16th, 2005. And that's a real brief message called The Body is a Temporal Figure. And again, all of these messages were coming to me, you know, very early on the spiritual path. So we can assume a lot of ignorance in my mind. And by that, I mean I was still fully holding on to the belief of separation at this point. Fully holding on to the belief of separation. And I'm just going to go ahead and start with this brief message. This seems to be a thought for the day that I was given. It's written in I language, so it's the kind of thing that the Holy Spirit wanted me to meditate on throughout the day, like a course workbook lesson. And this is the message I was given. The body is a temporal figure powered by thought. The body will not last. If I identify with the belief in separateness, that belief and that experience will continue beyond this lifetime. When I identify with truth, my experience of being separate will end, and every thought that is not God's own will be gone. The realization of all that is will be all there is. And I got to tell you, when I received this message, I really didn't have a clue. When I read this message now, I see so much in it that I couldn't possibly have seen in February of 2005. But let me talk to you about what it did do for me in February of 2005. Obviously, I was still fully seeing myself as Regina and only Regina. And what the Holy Spirit is really trying to do with this first sentence where it says the body is a temporal figure powered by thought, he is literally trying to shift my attention. I mean, that's the basic goal here. It's a simple shifting of attention from thinking of myself as Regina or as the body to shifting myself into the mind and seeing myself as a mind. That's really the shift that he is going after at this point. And what he wants me to realize, again, because I'm a fairly logical person, and Christian is asking, where are we at? We are at reginadawnacres.com, Christian. We're in the February 2005 archives. And we're looking at a message from Wednesday, February 16th. Wednesday, February 16th. So again, the Holy Spirit knows that I'm a fairly logical person. And so the Holy Spirit meets me there at logic and kind of is trying to explain to me that the stuff that I'm asking you to do, Regina, makes sense. The stuff that I'm asking you to do, Regina, is logical. That's kind of the approach the Holy Spirit used with me. And that's really what this message is saying. This message is saying it makes sense for you to make this shift and start focusing more on your mind because your mind, in effect, is what you're stuck with. Or your mind is what you get to continue to experience. beyond this lifetime. What's going to happen, Regina, when you're, who knows, 70, 80, 90, 100, at some point, this lifetime is going to end. This body is going to die. You know, it may be buried and returned to, you know, dust, or it may be cremated, but it's going to end, and you know that. I don't have to convince you of that. You know that. But what's going to continue is your mind. Your mind is going to continue beyond the experience of this lifetime. But your mind does not become magically transformed at death. The mind that you have at the point of death is the mind that you have at the point of death. Your experience continues through your mind. So if you have an unhealed mind that is full of fear, full of guilt, full of unworthiness, you carry that right into the experience that you call the afterlife experience. You're not guaranteed some favorable experience, because the experience that you have in the quote afterlife comes about the same way as the experience that you have in this life. It comes about through the filter of your mind. So really, the only real hope for a joyous, peaceful, glorious experience, both in this lifetime and after this lifetime, because they're really the same, the only hope for that peaceful, joyous experience that you know you want is to allow your mind to be healed. The mind is where it's at. This is the logic that the Holy Spirit is selling me in this message. The mind is where it's at. The mind is your only hope. So let's shift our focus from who you think you are in this lifetime, which is very temporary, and shift it to who you are eternally, which is mind. And let's start working on that mind. So that's really the logic that is being put forth in this thought. Now that I've said all of that, let's just read the thought one more time. The body is a temporal figure powered by thought. The body will not last. If I identify with the belief in separateness, that belief and that experience will continue beyond this lifetime. When I identify with truth, my experience of being separate will end, and every thought that is not God's own will be gone. The realization of all that is will be all there is. The realization of all that is will be all there is. So I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share or ask about that message.
Yeah, Steve, Laurie switched the microphone over to a different computer today, but I guess I saw you on last Tuesday for a little while after when Terry and Charlotte were on, and they were talking about her, the kind of a seizure she had, and they looked it up in this book, and they found out that it was related to, that there was a reference, the second part of it was like a reference to the atonement as a defense, and both Mary Ellen and I were looking at the second paragraph in there. It's on page 19 in chapter 2 of the atonement and defense, and it talks about true denial is a powerful protective device. You can and should deny any belief that error can hurt you. And to me, what stood out, and then I shared later about this second line in your February 16th, and also about the second paragraph in the February 13th one, about how if I identify with the belief in separateness, that belief and that experience will continue beyond this lifetime. And then in the February 13th one, it says, the ego is a mistake that you believe in, and the power of belief is undeniable. And I think I was reminded of, you know, some of the things you were sharing about early in the teacher's manual, that you just read certain things and started believing them. And I think that idea of belief is really, I mean, just as powerful as it says there, you know, the power of belief is undeniable. What you believe is real for you. And I know for me, there was something that came up, I think it was in chapter 2 again, on maybe like, find out if it was on 32, but it was on page 32. It says, It's in paragraph 5. It says, nothing and everything cannot coexist. To believe in one is to deny the other. Fear is really nothing, and love is everything. Whenever light enters darkness, the darkness is abolished. But then the next sentence really stood out for me, and I highlighted and marked it in the sign. It says, what you believe is true for you. So I guess I'm getting kind of the same thing from this second sentence in this, the body is a temporal figure, and the thing we were reading with Terry. I mean, true denial is a powerful protective device, you know. You can and should deny that any belief in error can hurt you. So I guess what it's saying is, another way of saying is just like, don't believe in the separation at all. Don't believe in anything your body's eyes is seeing you. Don't believe, you know, denying that anything that you're seeing with your body's eyes is true is just believing in the truth rather than what you're seeing with illusion. So that sentence, like second sentence there, and then the same kind of a sentence in the second paragraph of February 13th about the power of belief is undeniable. It's kind of like the secret a little bit, I guess, you know, and what you believe is real for you. So for me, that really stood out, that, you know, what we're believing in is what seems to be true for us or real for us. So I'm going to figure out on this other computer how to let go of the mic. But thank you for letting me share, because we were kind of sharing about that last week, and it was kind of cool. Kind of good.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. And let me talk a little bit about what healthy denial feels like, because, you know, all of these words can be confusing, because as we know, they are just symbols of symbols. So let me talk a little bit about what healthy denial feels like. There are two ways that I have experienced healthy denial. There may be other ways, but I can only talk about my own experience. One type of healthy denial is what I would call trust. So the Holy Spirit tells me, for example, that, you know, separateness is an illusion. Oneness is all there is. Well, at the point in my life where my only experience was separateness, I could not deny that experience because it was the only experience I had. So to deny the experience of separateness at that time would have been like lying to myself. It would not have worked. So I used trust to deny my experience. And what I mean by that is the Holy Spirit asked me to trust Him above everything that I see, hear, and experience. That was step one for denying the belief in separateness. So since my only experience was separateness, when I would have an experience of separateness or a thought of separateness that I, you know, was clearly recognizing and clearly looking at, you know, what I would literally do in my head was say, Holy Spirit, I believe this. I believe X person is doing this to me and it's unfair. Or, you know, I believe this thought that I have about this person, that he's a jerk. This is what I truly believe. So I did not deny what I believed. But then I said, however, I trust that I am wrong. And I ask you to help me to see differently. So for me, that was my first step in denying the faults. I couldn't lie to myself, and lying to myself would not be helpful. That would be unhealthy denial. But what I could do is face my belief, admit to my belief, and then put trust in the Holy Spirit above my own belief and my own experience, and say, I trust that I am wrong. What you are telling me is true, and I ask you to help me see differently. Now, through practicing denial in that way, what began to happen was I began to have true glimpses and true glimmers of our oneness, true experiences, my own experiences of oneness. No longer was I reading this out of a book, but I was tasting it for myself. Once I began to have enough of these tastes for myself, then I began to deny an experience. When I would have an experience of separateness, I could literally say, I know this isn't true. You know, I no longer had to depend on just trust. It's, I know this isn't true because I have seen differently. And so I'm going to let go of this thought and see differently again. So for me, those are the two phases I've gone through with the denial. The first was just trusting that my experience was wrong. The second one actually came from my own experience, where I now had, you know, some knowledge that the belief was wrong, and I truly was just choosing to see wrongly right now. So anybody want to say anything else about denial before we move on? All right, then, let's move on. Let's move to Monday, February 21st, 2005. It is called The Thought of God. The thought of God is in everyone's mind, and there is no exception. It is that thought which unites us. It is that thought which yearns to be recognized. It is that thought which enables you to have faith in your brother, whoever he may seem to be, because it is that thought which is beyond temporal dreams. And it is the true thought of Christ, which is you. Recognize the thought in him, and you have found it in you. So this particular thought for the day is not much different than, you know, telling us that the Holy Spirit is in everyone, or Christ is in everyone. But again, Holy Spirit is shifting me through a different set of symbols, a set of symbols that might be more helpful to me. So what we saw on February 16th is that my focus was shifted from the body to the mind as who I really am. I am not a body, I am a mind. That was the shift that the Holy Spirit made on February 16th. Now the Holy Spirit is saying that thought of the Holy Spirit that is in your mind, that is your connection to all of these other seeming bodies, all of these other people that you think are people. That thought that you're connecting to in your mind is in all of them. And that is your connection. And so really the Holy Spirit is helping me to see our oneness by first recognizing a thought in my mind, and then recognizing that same thought in the minds of others. And I'll be honest, I put my faith with this thought on February 21st, but I do believe it was April before I started truly having the experience of recognizing that commonality or that sameness in others. So I didn't start seeing it right away. But I did put my faith and my trust in it, that the Holy Spirit or that thought of God was in everyone's mind. And I'm sure it was that faith, that willingness that led to the experience a couple months later where I started seeing it, you know, in other people. And I'm not talking about, you know, other people in the Course community, because other people in the Course community can come into Pal Talk and teach and clearly display that thought is in their mind. I'm much more talking about people who are, you know, just out there on the streets and aren't actively displaying the thought of the Holy Spirit in their mind. You know, starting in April, I started to kind of see it, and even people who weren't actively displaying it, people who maybe wouldn't even have seen it in themselves. So I started to see through the illusion a little bit, the illusion of who they thought they were. But it was this thought that was the starting point to seeing that way. So again, let's read it one more time. The thought of God is in everyone's mind, and there is no exception. It is that thought which unites us. It is that thought which yearns to be recognized. It is that thought which enables you to have faith in your brother, whoever he may seem to be, because it is that thought which is beyond temporal dreams, and it is the true thought of Christ, which is you. Recognize the thought in him, and you have found it in you. And I really love that line that's buried right in the middle, that it's that thought which enables you to have faith in your brother. That kind of reminds me of something Peace Pilgrim said. She said, the way she worded it is, there's a little bit of good in everyone. You know, it may be a tiny, tiny spark, but there's a little bit of good in everyone. And what she also taught was you could have faith in that spark. If when you looked at someone, no matter what they were displaying to you, if you had faith in that little bitty spark, and you only had thought about that little bitty spark that you knew was within them, that that is the level at which you would communicate with them on, and that is the level that they would respond to you from. So this thought is very much aligned with that one. So I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has any comments before we move on. Yeah, I see Steve is asking about the polka dots. I think I've talked about the polka dots before. The polka dot vision showed that we're really connected at the light, you know, connected at the foundation of the light and not at the level of the polka dots. So, yes, same thought. The next one, I actually wrote down which workbook lesson I was working on that day. It looks like I was on ACIM workbook lesson 304. We are at Tuesday, February 22nd. So, you know, I was probably, I think when I started hitting the 300s, I was almost amazed. Wow, I've stuck with it this long. I'm sure some of you have had that experience. Wow, I'm in the 300s and I'm still doing it. I haven't quit yet. So I was on workbook lesson 304. Let not my world obscure the sight of Christ. So it looks like I had a question for the Holy Spirit. So let's see what I asked. Let not my world obscure the sight of Christ. What would you have me learn or realize from today's lesson? I will learn anything you want me to learn. Now, before I get into the answer, I actually want to talk about the question, because the question is a wonderful example in itself. And in fact, I believe I started doing this with the rest of the workbook lessons, asking this question, which really opened me up to receiving a lot of insight from the Holy Spirit. But it's really interesting, that last sentence, I will learn anything you want me to learn. That's a thought that is kind of important whenever we want to connect with the Holy Spirit and receive guidance from the Holy Spirit. If there is a thought in our mind about what we want, you know, if we want an answer to a problem and we believe that it is, you know, a certain problem and the answer must look sort of like this. For instance, I believe my problem is a financial problem and the answer should be some type of answer about money coming in, because since it's a financial problem, the answer must involve money coming in. That kind of a thought is actually a block to receiving guidance, because I've already defined what the problem is and I've already defined what the answer must look like. And not only that, I've defined it with the ego. I've defined it within the realm of illusion. Whenever we want to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, you know, it's perfectly okay to share our perspective. You know, so if I am having financial problems, I might share with the Holy Spirit, I am feeling a lot of fear right now, because I am not certain how I'm going to pay my bills, and I still feel that paying my bills is very important to my security. So I go ahead and express my feelings, because it's really good to be looking at the truth about what I'm feeling. So I go ahead and express my feelings. But then my next statement to the Holy Spirit would always be, what would you share with me? I leave it completely open for the Holy Spirit. I don't ask the Holy Spirit, how are you going to help me solve this problem that I've defined? How are you going to help me make money, Holy Spirit? And I'll tell you, I get that question from people from time to time. People want me to ask the Holy Spirit how they are going to make money. And I, you know, I just have to turn those requests down because I know that's not really a question for the Holy Spirit. So it's okay to say, this is how I see the problem. These are my fears, all right? This is what I'm afraid of. But what would you share with me? And you leave it completely open for the Holy Spirit to come back and provide any guidance that the Holy Spirit wants to provide for you in that moment that is most helpful to you. You do not in any way limit through expectations what that guidance might be. And you'll notice that I really started doing that here. I said, I will learn anything you want me to learn. I am putting no limits on the way that you are to answer this question. And you know, I think this is the first time I started doing that, but I started doing that as a habit after this. And if you look at a lot of my questions and answers with the Holy Spirit since then, you'll see that a lot of them are just, what would you share with me? Here's the problem. Now, what would you share with me? And lots of times the Holy Spirit comes right back and says, you're looking at the problem wrong. You're wrong, Regina. You know, let's look at how you're wrong. And that's my answer. My answer isn't, here's how you're going to make money. The answer is, you're looking at the whole problem wrong. The problem is you're focused on fear and you need to let go of fear. But because I open up to the Holy Spirit and I let the Holy Spirit provide any guidance, I'm then able to receive the Holy Spirit's guidance. Okay, so kind of off topic, but this is when I first started learning to do that. So again, back to February 22nd. Let not my world obscure the sight of Christ. What would you have me learn or realize from today's lesson? I will learn anything you want me to learn. Answer: let go of the ego. It is in your way. It is in your way. Let go of the ego. It is in your way. It is the belief that keeps you separate from your brothers and nothing more. Let go of the belief. Give it to me. Then open your eyes wide and celebrate the glory of what I will show you. So let not my world obscure the sight of Christ. And when I ask the Holy Spirit, what would you share with me? What do you want me to realize? What do you want me to get out of this? And the Holy Spirit says, there's a belief in your mind that is in your way, and you need to let go of that belief. And of course, at this point, I wouldn't have had a clue of how to do that. The only thing I knew was to give willingness. And so what I would do is when I again recognized the belief in separateness in my mind, once again recognized I was believing that I had a conflict with my boss, that she was different than me, that there was a conflict, I would recognize this is a manifestation of the belief in separateness. Holy Spirit, I want to see differently. I have faith that there is another way to see. I trust you over my own experience, and I give my willingness to see differently. Willingness was about all I had. Willingness and faith, trust, those were the keystones I used at this point. But I also remember this was another one of those messages that I not only carried with me that day, but I actually carried this message around with me for like 2 months, and I would go over it at least twice a day. You know, let go of the ego. It is in your way. I kept feeding that message to myself, and every time I fed that message to myself, what I was doing was giving my willingness to do exactly what the Holy Spirit was doing, and I was building up my faith and my trust that it could be done. Because if you all are anything like me, you know there's a point where this seems like an impossible task, this letting go of the ego. But through reading this message over and over and accepting it more and more, you know, my faith and trust grew that this was not an impossible task, that the ego could be let go, that it was nothing more than a belief, and that I could be led to that point of finally and completely releasing the belief from my mind. And then I would see differently. My eyes would be opened wide, and I would celebrate the glory of what the Holy Spirit would show me. And again, that is not my permanent experience at this time, but I've been there. I've been there. There have been certainly experiences in my life where I have seen, and I do celebrate. I celebrate what I've seen. I have gratitude for what I've seen, and I am willing to continue to do this work until that is my only experience. So I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to say. All right, then, let's move to February 26th, Saturday, February 26th. And the name of the message is Through My Own Unlimited Power. And notice at this point, I'm not yet receiving messages daily from the Holy Spirit. So as far as the, you know, kind of the scribal skill, you know, at this point I had no idea that I would one day be scribing the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. That wasn't anywhere on my radar screen, that I would be doing any kind of scribal work. But one thing that I notice when I look at reginadonacres.com now is I notice that my scribal skills were kind of being honed. I was being trained. I was getting better and better at listening to the Holy Spirit and getting more and more consistent. And we'll see that. I believe it's in March where I start hitting a daily pattern of listening to the Holy Spirit. And then somewhere, I think it's around June, I start receiving very long, very profound messages. And of course, it was in August that I actually started scribing the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. So we can almost see this transition that I went through as I was preparing for that work, even though I did not know I was preparing for that work. But February the 26th, through my own unlimited power. It is through my own unlimited power that I make illusions which seem to limit God's Holy Son. Illusions are temporary games that I choose to play. When I tire of my games, I release imaginary limits from my mind, and the truth is as it has always been. This I would call an introductory message. There's a lot more that we're going to see in April around this theme of playing a game and you have to let go of the game. This was the first time the Holy Spirit ever shared that idea with me. And in fact, this idea is really fleshed out in Romans chapter 2, because the whole tiny mad idea is presented as a game that we are playing. But this is the very first time the Holy Spirit ever introduced me to that. And I think one reason for that is in the word game. The word game for me, for my mind, implies a sense of innocence, an unreality, and therefore an innocence. And when I was reading A Course in Miracles, I read both with the Holy Spirit and with the ego. You know, some sentences, it's very clear as I was reading A Course in Miracles that I was reading with the Holy Spirit, because you could just feel the light. You could, you know, I would sometimes close my eyes and just feel a sentence for, you know, many, many seconds after reading it. Just kind of like meditate on that one sentence. And I would feel deeper and deeper realizations about that sentence as I did that. And when I did that, I was most definitely reading A Course in Miracles with the Holy Spirit. But there are other times when I would read Jesus's words in A Course in Miracles and I would feel horrified with guilt. I couldn't believe that I was responsible for this awful thing, the world where there's war and starvation and disease and betrayal and, you know. So when I was feeling that way, I was obviously reading A Course in Miracles with the ego. So I really read A Course in Miracles with my split mind, and I would have both experiences. But I had a lot of guilt around the thought that I was responsible for the tiny mad idea. And guilt is never helpful. So I think the Holy Spirit introduced the word game into the idea of the tiny mad idea, the idea of making illusion through thought, because if I could begin to accept that it's just a game, I could accept that, yes, I am doing it. I am making illusion right now, which I do need to accept. I need to accept that if I'm going to let go of doing that. So if I can attach to the word games temporarily, it's a symbol that's helpful temporarily. If I can shift over to the word game, then I can accept my responsibility in what I'm doing without feeling guilty. So I can say, ah, yeah, I see that I'm doing that, and now I want to stop playing that game. So it's a symbol that the Holy Spirit gave me, because it was helpful to move me away from the guilt, which is not helpful, into a place of innocence, so then I could learn to look at what I am doing in my mind and learn to let it go without all of the self-judgment. So the Holy Spirit does want me to take responsibility, but doesn't want me to feel guilty about it. So again, it is through my own unlimited power that I make illusions which seem to limit God's Holy Son. Illusions are temporary games that I choose to play. When I tire of my games, I release imaginary limits from my mind, and the truth is as it has always been. Notice even that last sentence is helpful in releasing guilt. It's that, you know, you never really did anything concept. You haven't hurt God, you haven't hurt heaven, you haven't hurt reality. You know, when you stop playing these games in your mind, you're going to see that everything is as it has always been. So really, the purpose of this message, again, was to get me to both begin to accept responsibility for what I do with my thoughts, and get me to be able to accept that responsibility without a feeling of guilt. So I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to say. All right, then, we need to move into March of 2005. So again, at reginadonacres.com, you'll want to look on the right-hand menu, the archives. You'll want to go down to March 2005 and click there. And once we get to March 2005, you can just grab your scroll bar and drag it all the way to the bottom. And it looks like the very first message we have is actually a long one. Here we go, a long one. And this is called, How Do I Let Go of the Past? And I do remember when I wrote this. Again, I was still working. And I had been working in the same place for 9 years. So I had a past there. And there were employees that, you know, over the course of the 9 years, there were business conflicts with, and grievances were built up. And so what would happen is that I would go to work, you know, not wanting to experience grievances, you know, wanting to be spiritually good, you know, because I'm still a new course student, so I want to be spiritually good. I want to have a perfect day, no grievances, right? Of course, I'm still judging myself all the way, but I think you all understand the mindset. So I would go to work wanting to have a spiritually good day where I didn't judge anyone, I didn't experience any grievances. And then somebody would walk into my office that I had a history with, and they'd say something, and it all came pouring back. You know, I was like, oh, this is hopeless. You know, how do I let go of this past? So that's really what I was feeling when this question came about. Yeah, Dorothy is saying office politics do not compute with no grievances. Absolutely, they did not fit together. So that's where the question comes from. So here's the question. I am realizing how much I hold on to the past, especially in some situations, and I want to learn to let it go. Letting go of the past seems really challenging. I keep seeing the past in the faces that I come into contact with. Will you share some tips to help me get better at letting go of the past? Thank you in advance. So I'm having faith I'm going to get the answer. Thank you in advance with love and deep appreciation. So that was my business letter to the Holy Spirit. I even had the thank you in advance in there, just like a business letter. So here's the answer that we get from the Holy Spirit. Letting go of the past seems difficult because you have an earthly memory. Don't think of letting go of the past as letting go of your memories. That is not realistic for you at this time. And I literally remember when the Holy Spirit said that, it was as if somebody took a burden off of my shoulders, because I thought that's what I had to do. I thought I had to be like brainwashed, that when everybody came into my office, it was literally like I had never met them before, and that's the complete experience that I had to have. And as I mentioned, I failed at that experience miserably, because they'd walk in, they'd say something, I'd remember the whole past, and I was, what a loser. Once again, I'm a loser. I blew it one more time. So it was really, hey Jasmine, welcome home. So Jasmine's saying, she's in the kitchen telling me that I'm not a loser. What a sweetheart, huh? So it was really helpful when the Holy Spirit said to me that we're not talking about letting go of my earthly memory, that that's not even realistic for me at that time. I really felt relieved of a burden. So let's continue. Don't think of letting go of the past as letting go of your memories. That is not realistic for you at this time. Think of letting go of the past as releasing it from your present moment and therefore from your future. Now, I had no idea what that meant, so that's why we have so many paragraphs here. So, the Holy Spirit goes on to explain. First of all, you feel guilty because you think you live too much in the past. You can easily let go of the guilt if you realize it is impossible for you to live in the past. Impossible. Now is always now. You can only live now. You can only live now. If you are thinking of the past, you are not living in the past. You are merely reviewing the past now. So that was actually a very powerful shift for me because I did see myself as guilty for living in the past. That's what I saw. And the Holy Spirit saying, you can let go of that guilt because that's not happening. That's impossible. And again, talking to a logical person, as he spelled this out for me, I saw, that is impossible. You're right. I'm not living in the past. It is always now. I'm merely thinking about the past now. And I was, again, another burden was lifted off of my shoulders. I was instantly able to let go of that guilt for living in the past because I saw very clearly in an instant that that was impossible. I had never done it, and no matter how hard I try, I can never do it. It's always now. So two burdens have been lifted off of my shoulders with this message so far. You can only live now. If you are thinking of the past, you are not living in the past. You are merely reviewing the past now. The power in that is that you can choose a different reaction now than the one you may have selected in the past. You know, that's one heck of a sentence. Reviewing the past isn't anything to feel guilty for. In fact, I can use it for the healing of my mind. If I find myself reviewing the past, the Holy Spirit says there's power in that. The power in that is that you can choose a different reaction now than the one you may have selected in the past. You are not stuck with your past reaction because it is not the past. It is now. Secondly, when you are reviewing the past in the present, think about your memories as a diet. And of course, as a typical American woman, I am very skilled at dieting. So now we're moving into an area of expertise as a symbol. When you are reviewing the past in the present, think about your memories as a diet. We can call it a soul food diet, if you like. The diet that you select determines what you will grow into. The diet that you select determines what you will grow into. If you decide to feast on a diet of ego memories, you are building a future like your past. This is what the Course urges you to not do. This is what is meant by letting go of the past. However, you can select different memories as your diet and build a different future by reviewing those memories now. So notice I'm not even being asked to let go of my memories, which I've been told is something I really can't do. I'm just being taught to look at them like a diet and to realize that whatever I feast on, that's what I'm going to turn into. And of course, he's talking about within experience. So I have a choice. I have two different diets. I have these ego memories, these grievances, you know, and all these things from the past. Or what I also have are things that the Holy Spirit has been sharing with me. I literally have memories of messages the Holy Spirit has given me. I have memories of what I've read in the Course. I have memories of the stories that Peace Pilgrim shared with me through her book. I could choose to feast on those memories instead when I want to daydream while I'm driving or daydream while I'm snow blowing. I can literally pick what I want to daydream about. And that is a diet, and I will become that which I choose. So again, You can select different memories as your diet and build a different future by reviewing those memories now. Choose to remember the times that you have felt your closeness to me. Choose to remember the times that you were in your right mind. Choose to remember the helpful thoughts that I have shared with you. Choose your memories like you choose your music and your reading materials. Because I was already at this point successfully feeding myself only the Holy Spirit through my choice of entertainment. I was only listening to music that inspired me. In fact, I was pretty much on a Resta diet at this time, pure Resta diet for music. I was only reading A Course in Miracles or other books that the Holy Spirit guided me to, which were similar to A Course in Miracles, you know, kind of companion books to A Course in Miracles. So I was already successfully doing that with my entertainment. So now the Holy Spirit's saying, do that with your daydreaming time. You know, do that with your memories as well. Consciously choose what you're going to daydream on. So choose your memories like you choose your music and your reading materials. Choose to feast on uplifting memories. Use your past to build you up and bring you closer to me. So again, this is really helpful because now, instead of letting go of thinking about the past, which seems to be impossible for me, I'm just, again, it's just a shift. The Holy Spirit is constantly shifting me. You notice that? I'm shifting from feeling like victim to what's in my mind to realizing I have a choice. And I would consciously do this. I would be out there snow blowing. And, you know, cause in Boston you snow blow a lot in the winter months. So I'd be out there snow blowing. I'd notice I started feasting on a grievance. And then I'd catch myself. And I'd say, oh, I'm feasting on a grievance again. And I would choose to put that aside and start thinking about the thought the Holy Spirit had given me that day or my workbook lesson or whatever. And I would just shift. And then I would walk along still snow blowing and daydreaming, but not feeling guilty for daydreaming, which I couldn't seem to stop. But I was actively using my daydreaming to build me up. Holy Spirit continues. Letting go of grievances is important. I'm sure that you can see from what I have already shared that when you bring a past grievance into the present, you have another opportunity to let it go. Now, I had never ever thought of this before. It's such a simple idea, but it had never occurred to me that when I was thinking about a grievance, instead of feeling guilty about thinking about the past, which had been my habit until now, instead of feeling guilty about thinking about the grievance, that I could actually use that moment to choose to let it go. That had literally never occurred to me. Don't ask me why. It just hadn't. So this, again, was like, oh, wow. You know, I can do that? You mean if I find myself thinking about a grievance, instead of feeling guilty about it, I can just use that moment to let the grievance go? It was an incredible idea to me. Very powerful, once again. So, I'm sure that you can see from what I have already shared that when you bring a past grievance into the present, you have another opportunity to let it go. However, do not think of the past as only the distant past. If a brother says something to you that does not seem to come from love, the moment he has said it, it is already in the past. You can choose again now. So what he's referring to is, of course, at this time, my first reaction to anything that I perceived as negative was negative. I mean, my first reaction was always the ego at this point, always. So if somebody came into my office and said something to me, my first reaction came from the ego. You know, I'd be angry at them or I'd feel offended or whatever. And so the Holy Spirit is saying the instant you notice that you do that, it's already the past. It's already over. Because then I would get caught up in feeling guilty for what I'm doing now, right? Now I'm screwing up again. Here was another situation to be the perfect little course student. Somebody came into my office and said something rude, and now I'm falling for it. And I would go completely into the guilt thing then. So, you know, the Holy Spirit had helped me to let go of the past, but when I'm screwing up now, you know, then that's a whole nother story. The Holy Spirit's saying it's not a whole nother story, Regina. It's not a whole nother story. It may have happened a second ago in the past, but it's still in the past. And you can now review that and change your mind about it now. It's the same thing. There's no difference. It's the same thing. So I'm learning that I don't ever need to judge myself All I need to do is choose again, and I always, always can. I mean, how cool is that? Even if I just totally blew it 1 second ago. 1 second ago, I could have blown up and screamed at someone, which I didn't really do at work, but I have been known to do with my daughter. 1 second ago, I could have totally lost it and blew up and screamed. But that's now in the past, and I can choose again now. I don't need to judge myself and pull myself down into guilt city. I mean, it's just a powerful, powerful idea. And remember, I was a very new course student then, so you can see how useful this one message really is. So if a brother says something to you that does not seem to come from love, the moment he has said it, it is already in the past. You can choose again now. The past occurs very rapidly, yet now is with you always. As you become skilled at letting go of the past immediately, you will find that you can be at peace always. Love the present moment. Cherish it as your opportunity to know yourself. You've heard the old saying about why the current moment is called the present. It is a gift, and it is a gift that is always with you, given you by your Father in love. Feel gratitude for the gift that is with you always. Treasure it. It has great value if you will see it as having value. It is your peace, and like your peace, it can never be taken away from you. What a gorgeous, gorgeous message, huh? No matter what I did a second ago, no matter how awful it seemed to be, I don't need to judge it. I just need to choose again now, because now is a new moment, and it's a gift from God. So I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share about that message. Good. And, you know, another little tidbit I see in this message now that I didn't begin to see then. I mean, then I did know I had to let go of grievances in order to experience peace. I did not really have the whole concept in my mind yet that we are creator. In fact, I didn't even begin to have that concept in my mind yet. So I did not realize that whatever I was thinking about was actually creating my future experience. That was way off my radar screen. In fact, it was a good year before I started to get glimmers of that. So I have no idea that that's what's going on. But yet you can see how through this message, by teaching me to feast on uplifting messages instead of feasting on grievances, how the Holy Spirit, who does know who I am, whether I do or not, the Holy Spirit does know who I am, and the Holy Spirit does know how I am creating my own experience. So the Holy Spirit is giving me skills or practices to help me literally create my own positive experiences in the future instead of negative experiences. The Holy Spirit, who is fully aware that I'm a creator, even though I was not aware of that at all, is teaching me how to be the type of creator I want to be by teaching me how to choose what I feast on in my mind when I'm daydreaming. And I didn't even begin to see that when I received this message, but that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit is always aware of who we are, and the Holy Spirit always guides us based on who we are. And so sometimes the Holy Spirit's guidance, you know, depending on where you are, because the Holy Spirit meets you where you are, sometimes the Holy Spirit's guidance might be something that, you know, a course student might judge. For example, there could be a time when somebody is in a lot of fear about a particular situation, but it's not someone who's really a course student. It's not someone who's trying to awaken. And the Holy Spirit may provide them literally an answer in form. And some course students judge that, and they say the Holy Spirit does not provide answers in form. The Holy Spirit would not tell you how to get a job. That's not how he works. And that's not necessarily true, because what the Holy Spirit is aware of is that we are creators, and that fear, creates a fearful experience. And so if someone is not in a place yet where they're ready to learn these deeper skills and deeper practices that we are learning, the Holy Spirit may do something in form to alleviate their fear. He's not doing it to give them something in form because he thinks form is important. He's doing it because he understands they're a creator, and he understands how right now they are hurting themselves by focusing on their fear. Now again, that would come about through someone asking the Holy Spirit in a very sincere, I don't know what to do, I need your help way. But it does happen. Yes, Steve, I notice you have your hand up. Please take the mic.
I was just going back to what you were talking about, like listening to Resta songs and stuff like that. I found that a lot of the popular songs that are out there, if I listen to them with Holy Spirit, even some of the newer ones, I get a totally different meaning. Kyle was mentioning last week a song, Blinded by the Light, and to me that just meant we're blinded by what we see with our body's eyes and stuff like that. Sometimes it's not the whole song. It might be just the title of a song, but there are other songs I was hearing in the last couple of weeks, like Love, Rain on Me, and you know, Let My Love Open the Door, and just different songs, and just changing a word or two in certain songs gives it a whole different meaning if I let Holy Spirit pick the word change and stuff like that. So I can appreciate it. I guess I wasn't listening to a lot of what Ref's. I've heard some of her stuff, but I guess if I let Holy Spirit do it, it seems like he changes a word or two here or there, and the song means something totally different to me. I think I was doing one of those Pathways of Light home study things about listening and receiving and stuff like that, and at first I thought I was getting nothing because I kept getting songs like the Beatles, Love Is All You Need and stuff like that, and all these other songs, and I didn't think I was getting any messages at all until later when I recognized that Spirit was using that too. So I guess I just wanted to share that I've had this experience of hearing popular songs, just listening with Holy Spirit and getting different meanings out of them too, as well as listening to like Restas and stuff like that. Thank you.
Thank you. And my time is up. So next week we will begin with Saturday, March 12th. How do I let go of this guilt? And it looks like another long message. So I'm sure the Holy Spirit shared many, many helpful tips. So we'll begin there next week.